Technology.ie. It's Monday, February 9th, 2015.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Keith Walter Overstock, this is Colin Weenachon here in the Black Knight studio. Last week, the Internet Service Providers Association of Ireland marked 15 years since the establishment of the Hotline Service, that is the service operated by the ISPs in Ireland, in cooperation with the Department of Justice and the Gardaí, which allows members of the public to report illegal activity online, in particular child sexual abuse material which they may inadvertently discover online. It's an anonymous service, and it's an obligation on the ISPs to provide this service, which they have done for 15 years. Paul Durant is the CEO of ISPAI and the General Manager of Hotline, and he joins me on Skype. Hiya, Paul.
Hi, Con.
Welcome to the show, Paul. We talked about this last week on technology.ie, and we published an infographic which highlighted, I suppose, some of the learnings and the facts, and I suppose reminded people of how Hotline works. 15 years is a long time, Paul. And in that time, you have, as operating this service and similar services being operated by colleagues around the world, you've learned a few things about illegal material, and indeed about child abuse, and also about how that material is being used in the 21st century.
Yes, absolutely, Conor. It's a kind of, unfortunately, a lesson which I probably would not wish that we had to learn, but unfortunately it is a fact of the internet, and we as internet service providers have to deal with it. And I think one of the things which I certainly feel that all our members are united about is that we absolutely do not want to facilitate this material. That's not what we provide our services for, and we absolutely want to get rid of it just as quickly as we can. And of course, the way that we get notice of it is by the public using the Hotline service, or if they prefer going via law enforcement, it doesn't matter. The main thing is that they do actually, if they suspect any kind of illegal content, particularly child sexual abuse material, to report it to Hotline so that action can be taken.
And as you've said to me before, Paul, you'd rather have something reported and be wrong about it and have it exonerated rather than actually, if in doubt, you're saying report it.
Absolutely. And that is the key factor, because quite often people don't really know, but they suspect it. And the other thing, of course, you must remember is it is actually illegal to knowingly go and try and find child pornography and download it. So, for instance, if you're on a forum and you see a posting that is suggestive that at that link there may be child pornography, do not go down that link to prove that it is. Just simply report that particular forum post to us, and the Hotline will do the examination and find if it really is what you think it is, and if it is, action will be taken. The Hotline service is protected through agreements between the Department of Justice and the Gardaí to do this investigative work in the prevention and prosecution of crime.
And it is not something that people should take upon themselves to investigate themselves. It's illegal to do that, is what you're saying.
Yes, it is. And to come back to your question about what we've learned over the 15 years, I suppose the rather unfortunate lesson is that this is a societal problem. It's been there long before the internet was ever invented, and it will be here, unfortunately, I suspect, for many, many, many generations to come. But the big difference is that people who have this sexual interest in children, whereas before they were using paper means of sharing this kind of content with each other, they of course found that the internet was a very useful way of sharing this, just the same way as anybody else wanting to communicate has found just how good the internet is. Over time, there's been quite considerable in changes in what's going on the internet. We always, in the early days, always assumed that content would be, this illegal child sexual abuse content would be where an abuser abuses a child, takes photographs of that child, and then shares them with other paedophiles using the internet. The big trend, of course, that's happened over the 15 years is that whereas it used to be still images, now there's a predominance of video, so moving images.
We're going to ask you, Paul, and we'll get to the point in a while, about more casual images, and in fact images which people and individuals and young people and perhaps teenagers may generate inadvertently, or not so much inadvertently, but generate for themselves, which might be of a provocative nature, aren't illegal as such, but people might want to think twice about them. And in fact, your experience has led you to offer some advice on that, which I'm going to ask you about in a while. But I want to ask you first about a case which came up quite recently, and which I suppose underlines some of the horror involved in this, in relation to material which was recently reported to Hotline, and you, as operators of the Hotline, discovered and realised that this was material which originally you had seen in the early days of the Hotline's operation 15 years ago.
Yes, Con, regrettably, that was the case. We had a report, anonymous, so we have no idea where it came from, and we really don't want to know where the reports come from, because it's the content we're interested in. And we followed the links that were provided in that report and were amazed to discover that it was a very large library of images of this particular child, who was four at the time when they were taken. This has materialized, of course, at different times, but we hadn't seen it for many years. But what kind of struck us is the fact that this case happened at about the same time that the Hotline was actually established, and this child was being abused by a person close within the family, and was that, and probably due to the fact that the images were put online, it gave police in the UK some kind of a clue, which they followed, and the perpetrator was actually subsequently arrested, prosecuted, I think, in 2000, and jailed for a good number of years. Yet here was this material, even though every instance that was known at that time was taken down from the internet, here it is re-emerging again. So paedophiles are keeping this material. The fact is they are images of a four-year-old, and that's what they're interested in. The fact that that girl is now nearly turning 20 doesn't really matter. It's not the age of the image that matters. It's the age of the child. And so it was quite a shock to see this emerging yet again on our just before our anniversary.
It is, and it highlights and I suppose underlines the fact, Paul, that this is a crime that continues to even after, as you say, the perpetrator has been caught, the material has been removed, and as far as is possible at the time, the victim in question has been rescued and has received counselling and help in various ways, and yet 15 years later, when you'd be able to put something else behind you, every time that image appears, every time that image appears online, that child, that individual, is being violated. It's a reminder, I suppose, to us of that particular nature of the internet. These images don't go away.
Yes, and I think this case really illustrates that, and you can take the lessons of that to what you were talking about there just a little while ago about children who are taking images of themselves now, particularly with the proliferation of smartphones, digital cameras, and the fact that it is so easy to just point that camera and click without thinking, and what's more, upload that to the internet with just a couple of clicks of the mouse or touches of the screen. And yet once those images are up there on the internet, you don't know who is going to get them, whether they're going to save them, and where they might reappear at any time in the future.
And Paul, do I understand that through the work of Hotline, you have come across such images which, for various reasons in terms of legal definitions and things like that, might not necessarily qualify as illegal, but yet are being used perhaps in an unsavoury way to titillate people of a particular persuasion, and certainly being used and distributed in a way that the original subjects and generators of those images didn't intend and wouldn't approve of or appreciate now?
We've had quite a number of reports, particularly in the last year or so, of exactly that happening. Children have put up images of themselves, which quite often are a little bit on the provocative side, Or they are just, you know, very good looking children, and both males and females, but more predominantly females, and their images have turned up on pornography sites surrounded by images of both softcore and hardcore pornography. So, and it also is interesting when you see the comments that, of course, in a lot of these picture sites that you can put there, that a lot of those comments really illustrate the people's interest in those particular children. And really, there's very little that we can do because the images themselves are not illegal. So it's not possible for either the internet service providers who've discovered or the Gardaí, if they're informed, to actually give an international notice to try and get them taken down. The only way seems to be to try and communicate with the owners of the adult pornography website, saying these are not appropriate images for a pornography site, they're of me, I have not given my permission for them to be used, will you please take them down?
Now, that is an option in some cases, Paul. And recently on the podcast series, we interviewed Fergal Creehan, who's established a service for victims of revenge porn, as it's described, called the Hit Squad. And he was pointing out that in many cases, terms and conditions of sites do prohibit certain types of images from being displayed, and people who are victims of that, it is possible to actually write to the operators of a site and say and follow a complaints procedure or whatever may be in place. But as you say, it's unfortunate that it's happening in the first place, Paul. It's unfortunate that images which might have been fun or cheeky or just a bit of crack in the eyes of the people who originally created them and shared them, or indeed quite innocent images, as you say, are being distributed in a way and being used by people in a way that isn't anything that their owners of those images would appreciate in the first place. Paul, what do you advise people to do, and in particular, I suppose, children, teenagers and their parents to do? For example, I know some people who will never post pictures of their children online. I know people who will do so only in certain circumstances or maybe on certain types of platform. It is, even if you say you're only sharing your photos with family and friends exclusively on Facebook, for example, it is hard to be able to say that you will retain control of the image. Once it's published, you don't have control.
Yeah, I think that's very true, Con. You're in the publishing business. You know, once you put something out there, it can be taken by anyone. The advice we give to parents is, first of all, this is a new phenomenon. You need to talk to your children and discuss these issues that arise and try and instill in them the idea of kind of a digital responsibility, that they have to think about their digital reputation, as we call it, so that children will think before they put things up on the internet, saying, is this an image of me that I really would like to have floating around for the next 10, 15, 20, who knows how long? And so therefore, think carefully about images you put up of yourself and also of your friends. It might seem great fun today, but maybe in the cold light of day tomorrow or a few days later, you discover that your friends don't like that particular image because it makes them look ridiculous. Or in fact, it portrays them in a highly sexualized manner. Then those images could well end up on these kind of pornography sites.
I suppose there's a balance here to be achieved, Paul, in a way, because on the one hand, you could wrap up your children like Michael Jackson's kids and hide their faces eternally. On the other hand, you know, we like to be able to share First Communion photos, you know, sports team photos, things such as family photos, family occasions, things like that. Is there a line to be drawn? Is it something that how does a parent, in your view, weigh this balance?
Well, Conor, it's a very difficult question, and I think it is a matter for each parent. Each family have different values and different traditions, or come from different cultures, of course, because we're such a multicultural society now. But I think that the line to be drawn is that it's about the images being sexually provocative. We haven't seen any images on these sites which are just, you know, the communion photographs.
Okay.
That's not really what these people go for. Mm. They want to take the one where the child is kind of posing in a quite provocative way. And you'll never overcome the idea that, you know, somebody might take a face because they like the person looks pretty and whatever. But I think it's talking about just make sure you don't put images up there which are particularly sexually provocative.
Okay.
The other thing which I feel I have to mention is another trend we've seen because of the fact of social networking and particularly things like webcams. There is a danger in the extremes, and I have to emphasize these are the minority, but we have seen these extremes, where children have been displaying themselves in front of webcams. Now, we believe that quite often they've managed to get into communication with somebody who's actually grooming them and making suggestions. So what has happened is they believe that because it's a webcam, you know, it's just between them and whoever is at the other end of the webcam, and that, of course, once something has been streamed, it's gone. The unfortunate thing is, while the person enticing the children to do that might give that impression, they are using video capture software. So they're actually capturing these videos of the children stripping themselves in front of the camera and often doing more. So what happens is these videos get captured and then they appear on child pornographic web sites or forums being referenced and are usually hidden away in cyber lockers, so that the people who are on the forum can then go to those cyber lockers and download the videos. So big warning, children, do not ever start doing stripping yourself and displaying your genitalia in front of webcams, because that will end up on child pornography websites and you don't want it there.
It's horrific to think about, Paul, and I suppose it really is a classic case of a very difficult job being done by the analysts in Hotline in cooperation with the Gardaí and Department of Justice. And a job that's being done, I suppose, and being addressed and faced up to in order to protect many of the rest of us who would not like to have to even think about some of the ideas that you're discussing, Paul. But it is important to face up to it. I think it's a clear distinction, so as you explain it, really, between, in many cases, the kind of behaviour which children and their parents would approve of in normal, everyday photographs. That's okay. But your point is that you have seen evidence through Hotline of children engaging in poses and in behaviour which is sexually provocative, which to them may just appear fun in certain contexts, but in actual practical fact is being manipulated by sinister elements, as you point out. And I suppose it comes back to the same thing again, Paul, is that parents need to talk to their children, make them aware of the risks and the dangers, and the fact, as you say, that a child may not be aware or may think that what they're doing is shared privately with someone else, but may not in fact be aware that that is in fact not the case and that it is extremely risky behaviour indeed.
Indeed it is, Con, and I think you're getting that message across. And I think another important thing too is if children come to their parents saying that somebody is contacting them, it's very important for parents to say to their children, look, it's particularly younger children, it's not your fault.
Yes.
So children are very worried that the parents might confiscate the mobile phones or the tablet or the laptop or whatever it is. I think it's very important that parents emphasize to their children, you know, they won't do that. But in fact, it is the right thing for you as the children to come to me if you find you're on some service, some game, you know, the IM part of a game or whatever, and somebody starts making sexual suggestions to you. And that should be reported to the Hotline or the Gardaí as well.
Yeah.
If there's a persistence there.
It's important because even some of the most technologically savvy of us may not be into games or may not be into perhaps the culture of some of these things. I know in my own case, Paul, my own kids are only starting to play things like Clash of Clans and things like that online. They share everything they do with us. We've encouraged that, and I hear that message coming to them from school as well. This is the message, I think, consistently being given to parents, and it's a relief, I suppose. There is definitely a demand out there for information from parents to know what to do. Is there more information available from ISPAI or from other sources, Paul?
Well, there's certainly on our websites, both on the ISPAI one and also on Hotline, there's some advisory information. Also, webwise.ie, which is our partners in what's called Safer Internet Ireland project, which is being coordinated by the Department of Justice's Office for Internet Safety. That has a lot of good information, both for children, parents and teachers, on a lot of these issues. Mm. And I think any parent these days must read this. It's not rocket science. A lot of parents try to say, oh, the kids know far more about the technology than I do. I'm scared to talk about it. Actually, don't let the technology get in the way. You don't know how to use it. It doesn't really matter. It's the principles. And really, those principles are not very different from what they were in the real world. You know, I always use the analogy, we've always taught our children not to get into a car if somebody drives up the school gate and says, hey, jump in, your mum told me to collect you. You warn children about that. Mm. Well, it's the same way of giving that generalized warning on the internet. If somebody's contacting you online while you're playing a game, or if you're on a social networking service or whatever it might be, and they start making sexual suggestions to you, saying, would you kind of stand in front of the camera and you know, lift up your top if you're a girl and things like this, you immediately cut off the communication with them. And also, you know, don't be afraid to tell your parents.
Come and tell
your parents.
Because
it's not your fault.
Absolutely, without a doubt, Paul. It's important to say, really, that as well, Paul, that the internet is a fantastic resource for kids. I know we have a PC, for example, set up in a public area of the house in our home. And the kids get such benefit from it and such an advantage. They can go and research homework, they can go and look up Minecraft stuff. But it's all, in our case and in the case of many other families, it's all done publicly, it's all done under the eye of parents. And as you say, our kids and my kids have come to me, Paul, occasionally if they're doubtful about something, which turned out to be innocent. But again, they do feel, you know, Dad, what do you think of this? That's important to be able to do that.
I think you're quite right, Con. It's creating that environment of trust with your children and that they're not afraid that something's going to happen to them because of this. Because, it's not their fault that these things are happening to them. So it's vital for parents to create that and talk about these issues. And also, I'd say, you know, to remember that we in the internet industry, we do not want this material circulating around either. You know, so we're doing everything we can to stop this. We're working with the Department of Justice and Gardaí, and it's also not just here in Ireland, of course. The internet is global. It is across many countries throughout the world and more adjoining all the time. We have an organization called InHope where all the hotlines can work together. So if material is discovered here in Ireland, we can, and say we just trace it that's actually coming from Germany, we can transmit it to our German colleagues who will immediately take the same action in Germany as we do here in Ireland and try and get that material taken down just as quickly as possible.
And I'll point people as well, if they want to look up on technology.ie, we'll link to the infographic you published. It's very illustrative, very interesting in terms of how this works in terms of cooperation between hotlines around the world. Very little content discovered hosted here in Ireland, Paul, but Irish users have played their part in tracking down content that was hosted in other countries.
Yes, absolutely. I think we've got an excellent record here in Ireland. It's one which we'd hope to continue. However, one of the things that's happened recently is the kind of internationalization of the services that are being provided from Ireland. And we have noticed with that a slight but nevertheless significant increase in the material that's actually hosted here. So we can be far from complacent. It's very important we continue the pressure and work with these companies as well to be part of ISPI, part of the hotline, and to tackle this material as quickly as it appears.
And you had a meeting last week, Paul, with the Minister for Justice, who hosted a summit on the subject with yourselves and with law enforcement and other interested parties.
Yes, I think this is a very welcome move by the Minister. She's consulting with industry, looking to see overall what are the issues, how can they be improved. I think that it will prove going forward to be a very useful consultative process. So I was glad to be part of that, and it's a very constructive meeting.
Well, it's something I say a lot, but I say it even more emphasis this time, Paul. Keep up the good work, and thanks for talking to us on technology.ie.
Thanks very much, Colin. It's been a pleasure.